Carolla and Dr. Carolla.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. You know what time? You know, I slept last night. I slept from 4:15 to
5.
No, 5:10.
Nice.
Like a retard. Then took a sleeping pill, had a couple of highballs on the plane, and didn't sleep. Yeah, I'm good. I'm real good. I got a problem. Speaking of a problem, Jamie Kennedy is our guest tonight.
How are you guys doing?
Drew's better than I am, I think.
Not much better. I feel pretty good.
I may be punchy tonight.
Punchy is good for him.
Yeah.
He's not so hostile. He's
well, it turns to venom after about 20 minutes, so the punchiness. The Jamie Kennedy experiment is on WB Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. And let me say this. I have not seen the show, but...
I've heard about it.
I've heard very good things from people who don't like saying good things about shows on a number of occasions.
You mean any comedian? Yeah. Any comedian, you mean?
Anybody that's in any way at all affiliated or associated with the entertainment industry, unless they're an employee of the Jamie Kennedy show. So they...
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Guys were sort of... you know how when they, you know, back in the day they'd say... Oh, did you see when Tom Green put some crap on the microphone, or did you see when Jackass did this, or occasionally there's a man show bit, not involving me, but usually one of the kids, when a man show boy goes out and tries to sell beer. Someone will talk about a bit in a show, and...
But a man show bit when you had the monkey.
Jimmy married the monkey.
I mean, that was a very good episode.
Sure, that was... It's delightful. So that is what I've heard about your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I imagine you've heard the same.
Yeah, we've been hearing pretty good things. I mean, you know, when you do a comedy show, you never know. You put it out there, and you hope people get it. And the great thing is that people like it, but critics have responded really cool, too.
Well, I think everyone expects the worst when an actor sort of changes hands and turns into sort of comedian actor slash host.
Yeah.
And everyone was very pleasantly surprised. With your work, or that's what I hear. That's what word on the street has it.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Yeah, we have a great. I mean, if you're familiar with Mad TV, the guys who created Mad TV, Fax Barn, Adam Small, and they're just really creative.
And what have been some of your favorite gags so far?
Well, we did a gag last week with Bob Saget, and it was basically I play a tour guy.
I heard about this. He goes to his house.
How'd you hear about this?
People are talking about it. People are buzzing.
If the buzz made it all the way to Drew's time, that's amazing.
It's serious. That's serious buzz.
Wow.
It's like more than buzz. It's
wow.
An earthquake. But you were a tour guide, like a guy that stars homes, and he takes them around and goes, here's Bob Saget. Let's go up and knock on the door.
I say, this is Bob Saget's house. I say, oh, Bob is cool. He'll let us go in his house. So then I run around the back, and you hear, and glass breaks. And then everyone's like, what? And then I say, come on in.
They walk in. He opens the front door for him.
And then, like, we're looking around. We go to Bob's refrigerator, and I'm like, let's see if Bob has anything to eat. There's nothing in there but bologna and vodka. And in his bedroom, there's, like, all types of, like, porn and pictures of Uncle Joey. And then at one moment, a Mercedes pulls up, and I'm like, guys, Bob's here. Tour, we can just keep going. Hide. And people start hiding. And Bob was fantastic.
Now, you're wearing like a hat cam, or there's like lipstick cameras, or cameras hidden around the house, like you come in and pre-wire the place?
I never do any of that.
Nobody's filming that.
We have hidden cameras all throughout the house, guys in walls with betas, and we all have like 7 or 8 cameras. So we wire it before.
Do you put like in the group of sightseers, would you plant a guy or two like a video camera?
Totally, exactly, yeah. So we've had two guys that was one was our producer, Adam Small, and another one was an actor, and so they just act like tourists.
Yeah.
We can use that footage.
Right, right. Oh, that sounds great. And what's coming up on this Sunday? You don't want to give too much away, but you got a morsel you can tease us with?
This Sunday we have two shows. We're going to be from 8 to 9 from now on at WB on Sunday night. And this week we have two original episodes, and then after that it's going to be an original and then a rerun. And this Sunday our bit is Judge Jamie Gay. I play a Judge Jamie like a Judge Judy, and real people come in and they hear their case, but like this time I was gay Judge Jamie, and I'm like hitting on the marks. Another one is Mr. Valenti. He's an 80-year-old Italian restaurant owner who proposes an indecent proposal to this big guy to try to get him to sleep with his girlfriend. And
now, are you playing the
old... I play every part.
Jesus.
Not every... I mean, I play one second part per sketch. Yeah.
His Saget was second to none. All right.
Bob is dark, by the way. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah.
And that's why I love Bob. The thing I love it. Because he's a very funny, you know, normal guy, but he has a very dark sense of humor, which is great.
Well, what Bob has to do, what Bob has done is, like, you know when a chick who has a very squeaky clean role in society or, you know, has a role in the TV show or something, does Playboy, and then they interview them, they go, I wanted to show people that I wasn't the youngest daughter of this family, that I was really a woman, and blah. So Bob has to do that because he did this...
So squeaky clean.
He did this squeaky clean sitcom for 8 years, so now every third word is mother effer out of the guy's mouth. I called Bob to do something like 6 months ago, and I called him at home, and he was like, where'd you get my number? And I said...
Really?
Yeah, I go, I called Comedy Central, and they gave it to him. No, they didn't. Where'd you get it? And I was like, I just got from someone over, like, Debbie Liebling over at Comedy Central. But anyway, so let me, and he just couldn't get over it. And at a certain point, I was like, hey, Bob, you know, you're not Brando. Relax over there. Plus, I'm a cable TV megastar myself. Don't worry where I got your number. Jesus Christ. But it's got a nice pad, right?
Yeah, really nice pad. Oh, okay. Did you guys do a... Huh?
Is it Beverly Hills now?
No, he lives in Hollywood Hills.
It was nice of him to let you do that.
Yeah, he was.
Geez, he takes a group of strangers to his house. Me, it's like, F off. Where'd you get my number?
Wait, did you guys hook up?
No, he just couldn't get over the fact that I called Comedy Central and got his home number.
I don't know.
They didn't think it was too big a deal, but apparently he did. And it's not like we don't like each other. I don't know. He just got hung up on that point. Maybe out of stock.
Val is 39. Val.
Hi.
Hey.
I was interested in talking to Dr. Drew about fisting.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Fisting?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Is this Val the...
The fisting guy.
Val the guy? Val the girl?
Is Val Kilmer?
Girl.
Okay, what about this do you want to know?
Well, I mean, is it going to cause harm?
If somebody fists you?
Well, no, on the partner.
If you fist somebody?
Yeah.
You have a partner that wants that?
Well, I don't know about that, but...
I don't
think... I'm interested in it.
You're exploring the potential of fisting.
You're scaring me.
I see. Now, do you believe Val?
I'm scaring.
I believe Val, yeah.
Just because Val's so effed up?
Yeah.
Val, what's up? Are you on drugs?
No.
Are you supposed to be on drugs? I mean, do you have a disorder?
You're fat.
Drew, please. Do you have any problems?
Why would I have problems if I was interested?
No, it's not that.
You just sound, sound how you sound.
Your
sound,
cadence, your tone.
You sound kind of intoxicated.
No, you sound like someone who has a mental disorder.
Oh, thank you very much.
Listen, I've said worse. I say because I care about you, but seriously, do you have any problems? Well, that's true. Do you have any problems like
no,
that way?
No, I'm not.
Uh-huh. You work and everything?
No.
And you wanted to fist a female partner?
Huh?
You wanted to fist a male or a female?
Male.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad time.
That's an orifice.
I pretty much promise you he's not going to be into that, I suspect. And not everyone can go through that without harm.
Okay.
Why aren't you working there, Val?
Because I don't have to.
Why don't you have to? Are you on Social Security?
Independently. Don't have to.
Independently, well.
Someone left you some money?
There are other hobbies you could get into.
Yeah, ships and bottles, things like that. Macrame.
Why do you... So me, Val sounds intoxicated.
Why
Battleship Hope Val Strong.
To you.
Just the way you're...
Listen, Val, you sound like Larry Flint. And what's wrong with you?
From the South, maybe?
No.
I don't know.
No, listen. Here's what I'm going to give you a choice.
I'm getting over bronchitis. That may help.
And you have not had anything to drink tonight?
No. Okay. Empty.
And no drugs?
No drugs.
And how do you support yourself? Who left you this money?
That's none of your business.
All right. Something weird, right? Someone's paying you not to fish them?
No. Not okay. at all.
Okay. It's open hand money, as I used to call it. You know, I have a certain amount of people I pay off not to fish me each year. It starts to add up if you get enough people lined up.
No, not at all.
All right, baby.
Not even close.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yes, I do.
He asked, what does he do for a living?
He's a farmer.
Farmer. Has he asked?
Yeah, but there's got to be some punchline, like ass farmer or something.
Right.
He doesn't.
I was going to say, are you his hoe? But that was a good day.
But has he asked you for this?
No.
All right, now.
Yeah.
All right, Val.
Well, that's none of your business. Happened.
Wait a minute. Do you just want to fist him for no reason?
I'm just interested in what it'd be like and what the reaction would be and if I...
All right, the reaction will be he'll reach around and smack you in the head.
Yes, it's very painful. The reaction would be massive bleeding.
Yeah, it can be bleeding. You can tear him. It can be a big mess.
All right. Listen, I'll tell you what. You start with a finger and work your way up to the fist. You understand?
Uh-huh.
All right, there. All right, good times.
He's not going to like the finger even.
You live in a house or an apartment?
That's none of your business. Excuse me?
Are you live in a house or an apartment?
House.
Somebody left it to you?
No, I bought it.
With the money someone All right, baby, take care of yourself. I wish you'd let us in. Let us peek behind the curtain of Val's life a little more here. I have many more questions for you, but you're closed books. I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay.
All right, good times.
Good night.
Good night.
None of your business.
Well, that's none of your business.
Oh boy. You know, Val. Not only did that. Remember the androgynous character on Saturday Night Live, Pat?
Pat, yeah.
Not only did Val sound like.
I thought she was talking about doing it to a woman.
But not only that, but Val is really. The same as Pat in terms of it could certainly go either way, male or female. Yes, this would be the Pat for the night. No, you know what this is? This is what Pat really is like.
This is the real Pat.
Not getting into all kinds of hijinks with confused and wacky neighbors, but talking about fisting and high on drugs.
Oh, thank you very much.
this is what's wrong with TV. Corey?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Corey, how old are you?
16.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah, what are you?
Yeah. No, you're no virgin, are you?
Yeah.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah.
You are?
You are not, and you're not 16.
No way.
No way.
Listen, everybody. If you're going to try to pull off a 16-year-old, you know, if you're going to label yourself 16, you know, juvenile it up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right now I'm wearing knickers and a wind-up beanie. I'm a virgin. And I ride a big wheel.
In a very way.
Try to young it up just a little bit. Chris?
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Drew. Hi, Jamie. How are you guys?
Good.
Adam, you rock.
Thanks.
I love the show.
Great. Thanks for listening.
Listen, I was calling about... I listened to the show from Washington. I listened on a tape delay, and the last thing I heard before the show went off was Drew talking to a woman about masturbation and asking whether the Bible actually alludes to it.
Yeah.
And it does.
Where?
It's Genesis 38:7 verses 9. I can't read my computer screen real well.
Pretty early in the Bible, huh?
Yeah, I went to a Catholic school for 8 years.
All right, and what's that? Oh, this is what they beat you over the head with.
Yeah,
so you wouldn't beat.
I bet there's some gray area. It doesn't actually say beating off, does it?
No, but no. The what it is there was a guy by the name of Onan, and it talks nothing about women. It's only about...
Thus the term, by the way, Onanism.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His brother had died, and he was commanded by God to go impregnate his wife. But along the way, he decided he didn't want to do that because by law, the kids would be hers and not his. So he just kind of spilled it all on the ground, and God didn't like that, so he killed him.
God killed him.
Yep.
So because he squandered his seed?
Exactly.
Jesus.
So what happens when you have a wet dream? You should wake up dead?
I have no idea. I didn't go into it. I didn't think about it that much. I just thought that I just remembered reading that reference and having it beaten into
me. Do you have it there, the actual reference?
I don't have it in front of me. I do have the... It's Genesis 38.
Well, listen, we're going to put you on hold, and you should find it, all right?
I've only got one phone line. I can't.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're 32 years old, you loser. What's going on? Does your mom need to use the phone soon?
No, she's not home yet.
Here, get it together.
Onanism is self-gratification. There you go. Masturbation.
Listen, all you idiots out there, and I'm speaking specifically to my buddy the Wheeze, who have one phone line and think it's okay to plug it in your computer and then get online for 4 or 5 hours at a time, especially when the last goddamn conversation we had was, I'll call you right back. This is ridiculous that adults that make good money feel it's reasonable to keep flip-flopping the phone back. What is it, $9 a month for another phone line? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's pretty cheap, though.
Yeah.
Especially if you're getting into Onanism. He's probably on the internet.
I owned off today when I got back from New York.
Did you own off in the first class bathroom? Or?
No. I don't do that because I think? The whole flying thing is a little precarious. I feel a little vulnerable. And I know that that's what would happen.
You'd be caught.
There would hit some horrible turbulence.
Break your neck, and you'd be caught there with your hand wrapped around your penis. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. They'd have to pry my fingers off my penis because rigor mortis set in. But when I get home, take care of business.
We listen to these tapes about the airplane turbulence, and,
it could happen. Absolutely. Steve?
Yes, sir.
You're on with Jamie Kennedy.
Hey, I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of a weird question. For the last 3 days, it feels like I've had, a constant case of blue balls. And I've had sex, and I've had, masturbation, whatever. So it feels like that feeling should go away.
Is it just in one side?
Yeah.
Is it swelling up on that side?
No.
Well, you need to see a doctor right away. Sometimes that can be what's called a torsion, where the testy twists in the sac and cuts off its own blood supply and can be a mess.
Something's wrong with his testicle?
Sometimes it's just epididymitis, which is inflammation or infection down there, and that's not that big a deal, but it needs to be seen right away, or as soon as possible.
So if I have, HMO or something like that?
Let's go to the emergency room, but if that suddenly gets severe and starts radiating into your abdomen, you got to go to the emergency room immediately.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, good times.
All right, later.
All right.
Like a little torsion.
Oh, Jesus, was it snowing in New York today?
Still the transition.
That was a good segue.
We've talked about this before, that there's something about the car business, whether it's drivers, whether it's limo drivers or town car drivers or guys that rent cars or guys that fix cars or guys that detail cars. It's all the worst that humanity has to offer, guys who sell cars. What is it that attracts just these scumbags, the criminals, to that line of work? I had two cars not pick me up. I stood out in the street while it was snowing. Town car never showed up. Town car never showed up at the airport. I had three cars this whole trip, and none of them showed up.
That especially happens in New York. Because there I was like, I was waiting at such and such a door. Well,
These are the worst that the rest of the world has to offer comes to New York and drives town cars. You know what I'm talking about?
What about taxis, then?
Well, see, the difference between the town car and the taxi is the taxi is sort of your choice.
Mm.
But the town car, you think, is showing up. So you're walking around, and then what you're doing to make it worse is usually schlepping some luggage, and it always seems to be raining or snowing or bad. And then what you're doing is you're tapping on people's windows, other town cars that are parked in front of the hotel,
with the guy sleeping
in there, and you're tapping on the window going, are you supposed to, and before you get half of your name out, they're like, no, no. For some reason, I don't know how they know. Drew, remember one time we had to get a ride from New York? We're in New York. We had to get a ride to, like, Westwood, the radio station, or the airport or something. Mm-hmm. And we're standing out, and I'm tapping on windows, and these guys are all like, beat it, no.
Well, and
the guy
was supposed to actually lean back and went back to sleep. Remember that?
Yeah. This guy, we, like, knocked on the window and said, are you supposed to be driving? He's like, no. No. And he leaned back. And, like, we stood around for another 10 minutes. And I don't know why, but eventually I went back and napped on the guy again. And he was like, oh yeah, I guess. Get in.
Really?
It was even worse.
He literally...
My recollection is even worse. He was the second time. He was still like, hey, I told you. Come on, get out of here.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, because now we're like late. When is your pickup to this guy? Because the doorman said, this is the guy. And
right.
I was like, well, 11:55. But, like, well, it's 12:05 now. Your pickup is 10 minutes ago. You think we might have been the guy? No, I'm looking for Adam Carolla. You know, I told you it's Adam Carolla.
Well, to be fair to us, we'd interrupted his sleep. I mean, he was probably in like a stage of REM. But I'm doing Stern this morning, and I got a 12 o'clock flight out of JFK, and Stern goes off the air about 10:25.
Wow.
So I say to the Stern people, listen, I'm hustling down to the street. It's snowing outside. I'll be lucky if I get to the airport in an hour. Is the car out there? Yes, we talked to the guys. They're coming out because they didn't pick me up at the airport when I got in 3 days earlier. No, they're out there. Now I'm out in the street and it's snowing, and I'm banging on everyone's window, and I'm schlepping the luggage, you know. Now, what do I think, of course? Well, it's not 57. Maybe it's 56. Maybe they're on the other side.
Yeah.
Schlep the luggage to the other side, banging on more guys' windows. And they're always angry because they got the heat going. They got the crazy music going in there, and they're trying to get some sleep. And it's no. Now it's back to 57. Now I'm going insane. I can't find him. And where's this car? Where's the car? So I'm trying to flag a cab down because it's like, F it. I'm not going to make my flight. Every cab, 150 cab blowing past me like a black man through. Really, honest to God. And finally, one cab stops. I go, oh, thank God, because I am running late. I got to make this flight. Throw all the luggage in the cab, jump in the back of the cab, shut the door, and I go, JFK. And the guy goes, I don't have the token.
Oh, my God.
And I said, what token? I don't have token. I said, I don't care what it is. I'll pay for it. Let's go. I'm going to miss my flight. No, you don't understand. I can't come back. I said, what do you mean? It's a token. You need it to get back. It must be because of the, like, single occupancy vehicle cross over the bridge thing. So I go, oh, is that going to happen with all the cabs? No.
Just me.
Just me.
No.
I said, what do you mean, just you? Oh, the guy, he didn't leave it in the car. And I was like, Ollie, are you kidding me? He's like,
you got the one cab in New York.
I got the one cab in goddamn New York that can't go to JFK.
So what happened?
I pull all my crap out of the cab, and I'm still standing out in the snow now, cursing the son of a bitch who's supposed to be driving the town car. Finally, 20 cabs later, I jump in the back. I get the only chick cab driver in New York now, so we're doing 49 on the expressway. The car's just blowing past us. And let me just say this, and then I'm going to get back and plug Jamie Kennedy's show. But listen, everybody, when you're in a car and you're on a freeway and people pass you, and I mean pass you fast enough so your draft actually pulls you forward a little bit, let that be a lesson that you're not going fast enough. It never seems to bother these people. They're in the fast lane. They're going 48 miles an hour. Some guy in a Denali blows by at like 78, and they don't bat an eye. And my thing is like, hey, you see that? You see those distant those taillights that are over the horizon now? That could have been us. That doesn't bother you that guys are just blowing past us? Like, you know what I'm saying? That there's no thought in your head that doesn't irk you just a little bit. There's no thought. All right.
Wait, did you have a lot of celebrities along with yourself in the first class? Did you see a lot of celebrities?
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin? Really? You know what? He's always a celebrity on that L.A., the JFK, and there was...
Oh, yeah.
Did you talk to him?
Yes, we have quite a long conversation.
You did?
He's a fan of the show. I gave producer Ann Hey, nice segue, by the way, Jim. I gave producer Ann his phone number, and he insisted on doing the show, which he'll never come on the show. But I swear to Christ, Alec Baldwin came up to me, started talking my ear off, told me how much he liked the show. Wasn't the man show, wasn't the TV show of this show, was the radio show. And insisted on doing it. So we shall see.
Here's the quartet. I'm going to say really quick on first class a couple planes ago. Jennifer Lopez, Tom Berenger, Liam Neeson, myself.
Wow.
Isn't that a weird quartet?
And in the right order, too. Wow. Did you get to sit next to anybody?
She was carted around by a private plane.
I think so, but no, she was in first class. No, that was probably a year ago. She looked a little, she was, you know, doing her own thing. I looked at Liam Neeson, I was going to say, hello, Oscar Schindler. Didn't want to.
And, right, you.
Tom Berenger was just, he was four deep in highballs or whatever he was drinking.
We're going to break.
J-Lo's hot.
Did you get to sit next to him? You never get to sit next to
him. No, I was like a businessman guy.
We'll take ourselves a little break. Jamie Kennedy's here from the Jamie Kennedy Experiment, which is on the WWB Sunday nights, 8 o'clock. Take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Jamie Kennedy is our guest tonight.
Hello.
He has got himself a show, the Jamie Kennedy Experiment, Sunday nights, 8 o'clock on the WB. And by all accounts, a very, very good show.
But thank also, God.
Yeah, for Dr. Drew.
How was this morning's turn? I didn't hear this one.
Oh, it's fine. Fine.
All right.
I slept for an hour. I remember.
Good.
The first thing that goes, your memory.
Yeah.
I can't believe I did that today. Mm. Although it was 3 o'clock our time out here. So anyway, I'm all screwed up. I got to need like an enema and a seaweed wrap and a good owning.
Good owning.
Good owning of myself.
Speaking of onanism, we happen to have Kimberly, who's 22 on the line, who wants to actually read us the excerpt from the Bible. I hope it's short.
All right.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Okay, actually, it refers to pulling out.
Really?
How interesting. Here, I'll read it to you. It's Genesis 38:8. I'm reading from the New International Version. Okay. Then Judah said to Onan, lie with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother. But Onan knew that the offspring...
Hold on. Oh, I already got problems with this. The brother's dead, right?
Right.
Really, would that be like...
doing your duty for your brother?
If your brother keeled over, you'd have to nail this bitch?
Yeah, it's a Leviathan marriage. It's a Levirate marriage. It's Levirate duty or something.
I see. Okay.
But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother.
Hold on a second. Why wouldn't the offspring be his?
I don't know anything about.
Well, first of all, who knows what they believed in those days? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, listen, there's a woman over here. There's your penis and her egg and her whatever.
You know, if you're really a primitive man, you might think, Jesus, my brother's wife, so if she gets pregnant, she'll have my brother's children.
Well,
you know, I mean, who knows?
I still agree with that math, actually, now that you put it that way. All right, so he just got BJs, or am I misunderstanding?
He spilled.
He spilled the
seed. He was wicked in the Lord's sight, so he put him to death also. And my
wow! You pull out once with your girlfriend, with your brother's old lady, and you went to death.
And by the way, it says he says the Lord thought it was wicked. Also, is that what you said? Also,
so we put him to death. Also, I guess his brother. I don't know. I guess his brother died, and maybe he put him to death. Also,
I see. It wasn't that it was wicked. Also,
I also have notes about.
No. Listen, Drew. He thought what he did was wicked.
Well,
not wicked. Also, there was no beginning wicked.
Well, no, because Onan had a problem with sleeping with the wife, with the brother's wife. So maybe Onan thought it was wicked sleeping with the wife. It has really nothing to do with spilling of the sperm. It's the sleeping with the brother's wife that he thinks is wicked.
On a full eight, I couldn't decipher this mess known as Christianity. But hour's sleep and a bunch of highballs with Alec Baldwin, 35
So what are your notes?
There, I can't think.
So it says what he did. So my note says what he did, and it refers to his refusal to perform his Levirate duty. So his duty, actually not having children, was actually why he was put to death, not because.
So it wasn't that he slept with his wife. It wasn't that he sent his seed elsewhere. It said he wouldn't go through with having the kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Here's the problem with this.
You can interpret however you want.
This Bible. Well, and here's the other thing too. They know us sane people with lives are way too busy to ever really follow up on anything. So they'll go. It's in Matthew 16 when Onan says to Ham, be not one that takes from. And you're like, you're just sitting there, your eyes are rolling around like pinwheels. And what are you going to do, raise your hand? No. No, why? Because in Leviticus 14, Hezekiah says to Job, like, what do you know? I couldn't tell you what my own goddamn mom's middle name was. You think I know what Ham said to Hezekiah?
And then Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, and but then he misquotes himself in Ecclesiastes. Yeah, are you kidding?
Isn't the Bible like 18 generations down? It's like you need the third one. Isn't the St. James Bible the real Bible or something? It's like version. It's like 19 generations into like the it's been reworked.
Oh, it's reworked. A mess. And look, hold on. Hold on a second. I understand a part about you shouldn't, you know, thou shalt not kill their neighbor or kill or covet their neighbor's cow or something, which now means car, I guess. But what, this whole thing where this guy died and the guy told him to pork his wife and he said no and then he pulled out. Is that really relevant? I mean,
how did that suddenly become masturbation? And what does that have to do with sin?
I don't know. Here's what I'm saying. I could take this Bible and get it down to about a Cliff Note size. I don't need all this crap about Onan, what he did to his dead brother's wife. And like I said, what is there? What message are we supposed to pick up from this whole thing? Do bang your widow of your brother, or what's that mean?
And sperm, and have sperm.
And really, the message: if you don't bang your brother's widowed wife,
and get
her, you're going to be killed. God's going to get you.
Wow.
Yeah. And listen, I know God's supposed to be good, but it seems like fairly tough punishment. I mean, we got a chick on trial now. She killed five of her kids, and we can't decide whether to lock her up or not. Well, this guy kills him because he pulled out with his brother's wife?
If you look at, listen, all
primitive religions. That seems heavy-handed.
All primitive religions have human sacrifice as a sort of core ritual, and then it kind of calms down to animal sacrifice, and then we get Jesus, who's a human sacrifice that we all focus on as a way of containing our aggressions. What's interesting is, I was just reading about Islam. Islam focuses on Abraham going to kill his son because God told him to, Ishmael.
Yeah.
And at the last second, he just doesn't do it because God says he doesn't have to. But he's willing to do it.
Yeah.
That's still a big part of Islam.
Yeah. It was a test. I remember that. Yeah. He didn't do it.
Okay.
But there's not the ultimate, there's not a crucifixion to focus on like there is in Christianity.
I don't want to offend any of our listeners who are into Islam or Christianity.
I'm not Judaism.
I'm just saying, I don't want to do it, but you guys are all effing nuts. Please, how high are you? And this is just another form of a mental disorder. You people that are really into religion, you really got to get into Prozac. It's a mental disorder, but you're really into religion, so everyone leaves you alone. Let's face it. You're on the carpet, you're facing toward Mecca, you're banging your head on something, you're carrying around a Bible. You're born again. This is a mental disorder. Let's just call it a mental disorder.
No, come on.
Please. What do you mean? Hold on a second.
I can't.
Hold on. Why is this so offensive? These people have a disorder.
Some people.
They have a disorder.
Yes, sometimes.
Most all of them who the Hasidic Jews, the crazy Shiite effers over there, all the born agains, this is a disorder. This is not hyper religious. This is hyper nuts. Can't we just call it that? Why are we all scared? So scared of this?
Oh, thank you very much.
These people have a disorder. They need to be medicated.
Hello,
please. Okay. Yes, Don.
How you doing?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I worked with Jamie on the first Scream.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I'm not sorry to hear that. I was in the after-hours bar that was back at the Crew Hotel, and Jamie...
Jamie's there all the time.
Oh, wait, is this Don, were you the head...
the bartender.
The head, what?
I was in Transpo.
Oh, you were... Oh, I remember you. Dude, wow. Wait, were you guys just talking about stocks, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. Yeah, you used to go to the Crow's Nest.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
There was a guy who had a bar in the hotel room at the Crow's Nest.
What we did is we brought a bar up to the hotel because because we knew it was going to be mostly nights, and Santa Rosa closes down at like 2 a.m. So we ran a bar that ran whenever we came home, we'd run the bar for the rest of the night, and Jamie would come in every once in a while. And the one time he came in, he was doing Brando from the door till he got behind the bar, and I thought, you know what, whatever this kid sets his mind on as far as imitating other people, there's no stopping him.
All right, well, now we got to hear some Brando.
I just remember what it was on the spot. Thank you, Don.
You obviously made an impression. Now, I'm guessing this is Godfather Brando?
I don't know what it was. It was something like Courtney. I think you're very pretty. You're very nice. But you don't come to see me anymore. You go and hang with Lisa Kudrow and Jennifer Aniston. I'd like to have a margarita. I don't know. Maybe it was that.
Oh, it was good.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, you do anybody else?
Sometimes. I used to do stand-ups, right? The jokes, like, I go to Laker games, and you can't really say anything to fans in L.A. because it might be someone famous.
Right.
And there was a guy, this came out of true. It was I turned behind me, and Al Pacino was screaming, and he was like, "Shot! Who your ass?" So I just pretty much didn't say anything after that.
Right, but you can't yell, "Hey, you little guinea, plant your ass. I can't see what's going on." Because it's going to turn around, it's going to be Dustin Hoffman or Al Pacino or something like that, right?
Can't say.
Can't. Ironically, you can't.
Hey, I can't.
All right.
That's horrible. Did that get...
No. We'll bleep that.
I'll take care of it.
Jamie Kennedy is our...
Don't say it again.
...guest tonight.
There will be a problem then.
Jeez.
Settle down now.
Unacceptable.
Jamie Kennedy here from the Jamie Kennedy Experiment, which is on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock on the WB. And we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla, and that is Dr. Drew over there. Jamie Kennedy is our guest tonight from the Jamie Kennedy Experiment. And before the night is through, I will say the Jimi Hendrix Experience, because it pops into my head every single time. And I don't know, does it do that to everyone else?
Some people say experience, but usually they say experiment.
No. Sunday nights at 8 o'clock on the WWWWB. And I would like to also give a plug out for a show that you guys all know that I enjoy very much, which is The Family Guy, which is coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night, on Fox. I get nothing from this show other than pure enjoyment, and I don't think it's going to be around much longer.
Really?
So everybody should watch this, and then Sunday night you watch the Jamie Kennedy Experiment.
Sunscreen has worked nonstop since he began in the business.
That's Seth Green.
I told Seth Green to read his bio as his character from The Family Guy. So that was... Do you have any more of that?
And I think to myself, my God, wouldn't it be marvelous if I turned out to be a homosexual?
This Family Guy is goddamn funny, this show. And actually, tomorrow night, they're running two episodes, and they're both the ones I'm in, the death episodes, so where I get to play the Grim Reaper. So just please support this show. I'm saying it for selfish reasons. I love it, and I want it to come back. Corey?
Yeah.
You're 16?
This is Corey we had before, a 16-year-old that sounds 40.
Right.
You're a pothead?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I know that. All right, whatever.
So what's happening there, Corey?
Yeah, I don't know if I can trust this girl.
Why not?
Well, see, I'm a virgin and all kinds of crap.
Right.
She don't say to her speaking, but she got a really big boyfriend.
I'm a virgin and all kinds of crap.
Now, this really sounds like a bogus call to me.
No, it ain't.
All right.
All right.
And so
he's got a big boyfriend.
It's bogus. You're afraid he's going to beat the crap out of you.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you not get involved in this chaos?
Well, she says she won't say anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have a sense that that's probably not the safest thing to rely upon, right?
Andrew, what were you talking about this last night?
That women, they're cheating because they're trying to get back at the girlfriend, the boyfriend.
They ain't cheating because they ain't getting any schlong.
Right.
They don't cheat because it feels good. They cheat to send a message. to the guy who's ignoring them, and you can't send that message unless that guy finds out. And then that guy makes a fist and sends a message to your jaw in return.
Right. So, guys cheat. They don't want anyone to know. They do it because they can, because they just want to.
Now, we cheat for reasons that are biological. We
just want
smart. Yeah, this is the problem with women. Everything is something else for them. It's like, I eat because I hurt and I feel empty inside, and I try to fill it with food. And when I get upset, I eat. It's like, how about eating when you're hungry, bitch? What? You got to do something for something every time? I wear lingerie for me. It's the way I feel. I said, oh, stop it. Jesus, wear the panties because they look good for your boyfriend. Eat when you're hungry. And if you're going to screw around, do it because you're horny. That's the problem with women. They want to know why we stop talking to them. We can't figure them out. Plus, we got to get that big speech. My mom, when she used to yell at me, I would go right for the fridge. And now, when the boss comes down, okay, all right. You can't just eat when you're hungry like guys do. Guys, we're hungry all the time. We're horny all the time. So we're like, they eat an F. Very straight. We're not interested in advertising, either one.
It's like a straight line. There's no curves.
That's right. No, that's linear. Right. We never sit down with our buddies and explain to them why we eat. I eat a meatball sandwich because my old man used to come down on me pretty good.
Comfort food.
Yeah. You know what our comfort food is? All the food that we like.
Everything we eat.
Everything that tastes good.
Taco Bell.
Everything that tastes yummy, that is the male's comfort food. All right, so Corny.
Corey. Don't get into that mess. It's a mess.
He's going to shoot you. Chris, you're 17.
Hi. I guess on Saturday, my girlfriend broke up with me. And I don't know, it was a pretty serious relationship. We were pretty involved with each other. And almost lost my virginity to her, but she said it hurt too much, whatever. And I don't know, I've just been
kind of taking it. Wait a minute.
If you put it partly in, isn't that?
What? No.
Yeah.
No, you would count that as losing your virginity.
Well, see, the thing is, though, that I'm never, like, I don't know, I'm not the one to go around school and say, oh, I lost my virginity or whatever. I'm an honest person. So.
Whoa. Was your penis, did it break the plane of her vagina?
Yes, I would say yes.
It did?
There you go.
I would ring that up. All now, right. here's the way I would spit. And by the way, if I was 17 and still a virgin in high school, I would definitely count that as losing my virginity. At the age 37, if I screwed around with one of my girlfriend's friends or something, I would not, definitely not. That would be like first base.
Didn't count.
Yeah, it would not count.
All right.
You see?
It'd be an onism.
Spilled. Thank God it's Scotch guarded the sofa because there was seed everywhere. Yeah. It was a mess. Yeah. The seed hit the fan.
I totally agree with you guys on the whole religion thing. I used to be pretty religious.
Chris, what is your question?
All right. Well, I don't know. I guess I just want some advice. She's, you know, I've talked to her once. And she kind of blew me off the second time I talked to her.
But you're broken up. Why? What are you doing here?
Huh?
You're broken up.
Well, yeah, I know. She keeps telling me, you know, I want to be friends and stuff. And
yeah, well, give it 6 months of no contact, then you can go back and be friends.
Okay. She just says, you know, because we did. We shared a lot of things together. And
Chris, did you hear anything I just said?
Yes.
6 months, no contact.
Oh, that's it. Just move on.
All right.
Find someone else. Can you do that?
I think I could do that.
Do that. Wait, you say you're in high school, you're a senior?
Yeah.
You're going to college?
I am going to University of Colorado.
All right.
You'll have many other relationships where you share lots of intimate things.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be fun.
All right?
Okay, cool.
All right, good times, everybody. Don't worry about your life so much. No big deal.
All right.
I want you to look at your life like I look at your life.
Yeah.
All right?
Which is that it doesn't matter?
Well, that I don't really know it exists.
That's good.
Okay?
All right, thanks.
And don't live and die with each decision.
Yes.
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. That's what I want everyone to
do. And remember, good times.
But I want you all to look at my life like I look at that. All right.
Is that the rule, the 6 month thing?
Yeah, it's a good rule.
All right.
6 months, don't contact. Let's go to break.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do that. Who do you want to talk to on
Troy.
I don't like that one. You got something better?
No.
All righty, then.
We need to get more calls, then.
All right, we'll just say yes, but it's going to be a surprise call.
It's going to be a surprise call. We will get the most exciting call.
All right, Jamie Kennedy.
This will rank up there with the guy that inhaled the clitoris ring.
Oh, yeah.
Inhaled. Into his lungs.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No, what happened?
Well, I'll tell you more.
When we get
Whoa.
Back. All right. Jimi Hendrix is our guest tonight. Just want to get that out of the way. Jamie Kennedy is here tonight from the Jamie Kennedy Experiment, which is on Sunday nights, 8 o'clock on the WWWB. And like I said,
I was late.
I have heard just stellar things about the show.
We just stood here going over anatomy pictures. I thought we were on the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it seemed like you were working.
Yeah, I was working, yeah.
Yeah, so we sat there here, Jamie and Drew and myself, and looked at Drew's anatomy.
Jamie freaked out and became somatic and wanted to go to the hospital.
His balls started hurting.
Well, whenever I hear the blue, I just think I get what they get. The blue ball guy?
Yeah, it's a sympathetic sack.
It is.
So we watched.
It's fascinating, that book.
We looked at the book for like 4.5 minutes of the 5-minute break, and when we were done, Drew said, well, all right, time to, now I need some Drew time. And he had to the other room to get on the computer and to tell him that the show was starting. But that felt like you were on the clock there,
it
right?
It did, yeah, it was on air.
You know, there's nothing worse. You know what the worst is? When you have a really crappy job and you dream all night that you're at work or that your boss is yelling at you or something's going wrong at work, and then the alarm goes off and you now it's time to really go to work and you feel like you were just fisted. Like you just go, oh, no, I just got done with that. That's what this is like for you, right?
That happened to me this morning.
It did?
Really? Yeah, and I was dreaming that I was here and then I wake up to Stern. And I start hearing Adam, and it was horrible.
Oh yeah.
I thought you were horrible on Stern.
No, but I know what you're saying. That had to be traumatizing.
I was dreaming that you were talking, and I had fallen asleep on the board. I have reoccurring dreams all the time when I'm asleep on the board. Wake up, and you're in mid-sentence.
But Adam has that same dream. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Yeah. That's my reality.
By the way, I sat in your seat last night when you broadcasted back from New York, and noticed the view you get, and I complained to these guys that it's a little disconcerting having them pointing at the TV and laughing and screaming and carrying on. And
no, you don't see the camera from where you are.
Way,
yeah. You got to be your own audience on this show. That's all right. JP?
Yes.
You're 19?
Well, is this Adam?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This is so weird. Sorry.
I know. It's really...
It's surreal for me, too.
It's crazy. It's like you call... Yeah, Adam, you know, Adam's talking.
I've been listening for like 8 years almost.
Wow, 8 years from, not from Sacramento, though.
Oh, no. Well, you know, I'm not really from Sacramento.
Where are you from?
Southern California.
You must be from L.A., right?
Yeah.
8 years.
All right, well, there you go. That just blows your whole...
Is Jamie Kennedy?
Half your color, yeah.
Hey, what's up, man?
Oh, my goodness, dude, your show rocks so much.
Thank you very much.
I work for a post house, so we get your show a couple days in advance sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, man. Anyway, my question.
Thank you.
I think he spilled some seeds.
I'm sorry, I'm just so nervous.
The show's good.
Jamie. Keep throwing in love.
My question.
Yeah.
I've been dating my girlfriend for quite some time, and we're sexually active. She's on the pill, so we don't use condoms.
Mm-hmm.
And on occasion, she's like, she gets on her period.
You're kidding. Like, yeah, okay.
Period. That usually doesn't stop us.
Yeah.
Good time.
That's love. That's young love.
That's right. What's the question?
So the question is that bad or is not healthy or is it not good for her?
Not for you. It's no problem for you. You know, you've had plenty of contact with her, so it's not like there's going to be added contact by the blood exposure. With her, if you happen to have something, it increases the risk that bacteria can get up into the higher areas of the genital
tract. Really? Why? Why?
Because there's more of an open conduit. There's sort of, you know...
Why?
The cervical
it's not the blood itself, but it's, well, it's where the blood flows from?
Basically, yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't get any, like...
No, you're fine. And she's probably fine, too, in reality.
Okay.
Can't get anyone?
Anything.
Man cow or something. You can't get anything that wasn't there already.
Exactly.
What about pregnancy?
She can get pregnant.
Well, she's on her period?
But she's, yes, she can. But she's taking the pill, so she's not going to get pregnant.
You really can?
She's really
not
weird
really.
With the pillow.
It's rare, but you can do it.
She's very weird, but, like, she's really unstable. Like, she'll forget, and then, like, once a month, she'll be like, oh, well, I got to start over, and, like...
Well, you got that whole rest of the next package. You got to use a condom.
Yeah, we know about that.
All right, good. There you go.
All right, everybody.
Jamie Kennedy?
Ew.
Your show rocks so much. I mean, I crack up every time I see it.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much.
And it's, like, such a thrill to be talking to you. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, man.
All right, JP.
Thank you, JP.
All right,
thanks,
bye,
guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Very complimentary. And, the compliment means more when it's coming from a guy who pulls the cork that way, because you have a certain respect for him now. You know,
pulls the cork?
You know, with his girl.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you mean?
Yeah, when he's in. When she's
blood. Okay. Yeah.
I respect that. You know what I mean?
When they're red.
Yeah, it's like Evel Knievel giving you a compliment. It means more than just your postman doing it. You know, this guy stares danger in the face every day, or at least a couple days out of the month.
Troy?
Yeah.
19, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Drew?
Hey, Troy.
I had a question about alcoholism. Actually, a few questions.
All right.
For starters, what is the difference between being an alcoholic and being a binge drinker?
They may be the same thing. That can be a form of alcoholism. It also can be alcohol abuse. Really, what determines whether or not you have alcoholism is whether or not there's a genetic history there. So if you have a family history of alcoholism and you have momentum with alcohol and you have consequences, you have disease.
Well, you binge drink, too, when you're younger and you're trying to get, you know, jacked up. I mean, they should understand that.
Yeah.
They always talk about these... They just came out with this, like, teen study, you know, where X amount of high school students did binge drinking. It's like, wait, you think they're having a martini with a couple associates, you know? No, they're going to gym class and stuff. They binge drink, but that's how teenagers drink.
There's actually a definition for binging. It's 4 drinks in an hour for a female and 5 for a male.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Jeez, that's called a weeknight. I mean,
what's called bedtime for you, right?
Yeah, that's called between midnight and 3 a.m. every night. Yeah, what kind of binge is that?
Well, there's definitely a genetic history then.
All right, then you got it.
And there's
and you got, you know, you're having some momentum with it, and I'm presuming you have a few consequences, and that's it. It will progress. That's what you can predict about this.
It will progress.
Guaranteed. That's the nature of the biology. And if you can control it now, stop drinking, it may not progress. But if you maintain your relationship with alcohol, it will progress.
Oh, man. I talk about binge drinking. That first class air flight, boy. I got loaded today, boy. Good times, man. But there's something about the plane that once you get off the plane, it's like you haven't been drinking that day.
That's like a new day.
Yeah, it's like an opportunity. What I mean is if you just sat around and drank from, you know, noon to 5 on a regular day, at 5:15 you just pass out somewhere in your house, right?
It has something to do with the time, though, because if you're going east, you get there, it's bedtime anyway.
Yeah.
So you go to bed, and you're coming this way, it's already a new day. I mean,
I don't know how it works, but somehow, I mean, you have 8 drinks on the airplane, you know, between, you know, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, and then somehow you step off the plane, and it's like, yeah, all right, what are we going to do now? Now swing by work. Where if I have like a beer and a half at home at 1 in the afternoon, I'm like I'm calling old girlfriends and trying getting weird, doing stuff over, you know, making binge buys off eBay and stuff, like I'm out of control. The plane has a mellowing effect. I should get a plane seat for my house so I can drink more. Put it in there, Cindy.
Hello.
You're 18.
Yeah.
Hello? She's
a big Jamie fan.
Go, Jamie.
Yeah, totally. Oh, my gosh. I have, like, the biggest crush on Jamie Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Get in line, sister.
And, yeah, I know. And
yeah, I know.
And I was just wondering, is that bad if I'm, like, a fanatic?
Yeah.
That's not good?
It's not good, no.
Not what do you look like?
What?
Oh, I'm kidding. Well, I mean, if it was, you know, Tom Berenger or J-Lo or Alec Baldwin or who else was up in that first class?
Liam Neeson.
Well, yeah. Alec was on my plane. If the celebrity of that elk, I wouldn't see it as being a problem, but Jamie. Come on.
He's
But is there self-esteem issue here?
What? How bad is it? Are you thinking about it all the time? Are you...
It's like 24/7. I go to college and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Where did you initially get into Jamie?
Okay, like my friends were talking about the show and then I was like looking at it. I don't really care. I just like, even though he dresses really like weird and all the my friends.
Hold on, all love line recreation. Go ahead, Drew, ask me the question.
Now, where did you see him first?
I was my friends saw the show, but he dresses really crazy. Yeah. She must have known you before the show, though, right, Cindy?
What?
You knew Jamie from Scream? Or
no, I've never watched that before.
Jane Simon Bob from the show. Right back? Or,
I'm
hold on,
like,
this is my plug. Dr. Doolittle, Three Kings, Bowfinger, Enemy of the State, As Good as It Gets.
I've never seen those movies.
Romeo and Juliet?
I see Lethal Weapon 4. Like, I watch action shows. Like, I like karate and stuff.
You like karate?
Yeah. I'm Japanese Miss White.
Okay. You're what?
I'm Japanese Miss White.
Oh, so that's the karate side of you, the Japanese brother. All Japanese are black belts, right? I mean, that's what I know about the Japanese.
I guess.
Black belt accountants.
What?
every Japanese person, right? All right, hey.
You saw the show?
Huh?
You saw the show?
Yeah, I saw the show.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
And then what attracts you to Jamie?
I don't know, just like their personality and everything like that. Really cute.
Turn your radio down, would you please?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
All right. So you're, hold on. You're in college now?
Yeah, I'm in
college. All right. Hold on a second. First off, I may have found the one champ in North America who goes to a junior college.
San Diego State.
Yeah, San Diego State. And if the dean, if she says San Diego State and the dean, do they actually have a dean or they actually have like a junior dean and no real dean? If they have an actual dean and he's listening and she in fact does go to San Diego State, he should put a gun in his mouth right now because he's really running a junior college over there that goes on for 4 years. It's really, the whole attraction at schools, it's a stone's throw from Tijuana.
I got to get
UCSD, really?
Yes.
Wow.
But I live in San Diego. I'm going to go to Stanford after this for the 4 years. I'm doing pre-med.
See, Adam, I have a little time.
Wait a minute. Are you in high school still?
Excuse me?
Are you enrolled at UCSD?
Yeah, I'm enrolled in UCSD right now.
Full-time
student.
Freshman, okay.
Yeah. You see, but the stereotypes never let you down. This is the ditziest broad I've ever spoken to, but... She's half Japanese. She's going to go to Stanford and become a doctor.
I speak three languages.
Right.
Yes.
What languages do you speak?
I speak Chinese, Japanese, English. Oh, I do speak Vietnamese and Spanish too.
Wow. That's
four or five.
All right. And but do you know she's smart? You speak Comanche like I do. Wait, that's all Japanese in there, too.
Okay.
Hey, Cindy?
Yeah?
You smartened up now, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. You were just nervous about Jamie.
Yeah, totally.
You sound kind of hot.
Huh?
She sounds hot, doesn't she?
Oh, thank you.
That Eurasian thing is hot. It's a great mix.
All right.
It's one of the best mixes.
Thank you.
Are you cute?
Who's number one?
It's Minka.
I think I'm... Like, in our tradition, we're not supposed to say if we're hot or not, but my family says that I'm very beautiful, and they want me to stay a virgin forever, until I'm married.
Forever.
And I believe in that.
Okay. You can never get laid?
Jamie's not interested in you.
Jamie needs, like, oral in the first 10 minutes of the date, or he shoves you out of the car while it's moving. He's a big celebrity, you understand? So,
no, I think it's good. Save your virginity until you're
dead.
Until you're married.
Yeah.
Well, not even that. Just until you find the right person you want to do it with.
All right. Yeah, do you have to find a Japanese guy?
What?
Is your dad's going to be...
I want to do...
Yeah, but how angry would your dad be if you brought home this round eye?
Oh, a white guy?
Jamie, yeah.
You'd
be pissed, right?
Who would be since my mother? She's not full white. She's probably like.
Here's something.
Your dad would be mad. My baby's got like red hair.
My brother's married a Japanese girl.
Uh-huh.
Not kidding.
Smart.
Not kidding. And he goes to Okinawa half the year.
Mm.
Isn't that weird? So I think we would blend.
But again, once again, our callers, didn't she think it was unique or interesting that you were able to pull out of her call that her dad was the Asian member of the family?
No.
Doesn't even register with him.
No. Didn't even register.
Did she go? Did you cut her off?
No, I put her on hold. Hey, Cindy.
That was very nice.
All right, we're going to let you go.
Okay.
Thank you, Cindy, for all the love.
I'll be famous someday, just watch.
Doing, what are you going to do, kill your parents?
No, I'm doing acting for karate.
For karate?
Yeah.
Oh.
And my cousin in Japan, he says something like, Jet Li's like doing a movie or something.
Oh.
And I want to see if I can be placed in there because my cousin is related to the production.
Well, I'll tell you, they should start prepping your star on the Walk of Fame right now because if your cousin heard something about Jet Li doing a movie, and these guys know the caterer pretty well.
And you could be one of the crowd, the karate fans. Yeah,
that is.
I'm really, I've studied karate since I was...
Hey, enough said, baby. I mean, I'm sold. Should we just give you the Oscar? Or you should show up and, you should at least make it seem like they're considering other people. All right, baby. Well, you're in.
Okay. Just watch.
All right. Are you black belt?
What?
Are you black belt?
I'm a third degree.
Third
Whoa.
Degree.
But wow, she could kick at me.
Yeah, but you realize that's all just worthless. That there's not a not a junkie on the planet that couldn't kick your ass. You understand that, right?
What?
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Stupid karate stuff. You grab here. All right. Now make sure. Hey, let me just explain something to all the karate guys. In real life, when a guy like attacks you and you're trying to flip him, he doesn't push. He doesn't jump a little bit when you're actually trying to. He actually tries to resist you flipping him. I know you get used to that with karate class, but the guy does like the little hop. I like it especially when it's the 110-pound chick who's throwing the 200-pound guy, so the guy gets just a little
kangaroo hop over the top.
Yeah, it's never too much. It's just a little push. It's sort of the difference between you know what karate class is. Karate class. Here's the difference between karate class and life.
Oh my goodness!
Now get ready, because this is going
to
be good.
Catch you walking out and we getting jumped by karate.
In real, a bunch of ninjas rappel down the building and slip my rubber piano wire.
I go like.
In real life, here's the difference. It's the difference between when someone passes out, you have to move them in a movie, and in real life. In a movie, they karate chop the guy, then they, like, throw the guy over their shoulder. They pick him up. It's just 250-pound guy lying flat on the ground, just dead as a doornail. And, Pierce Brosnan will throw him on his shoulder. Now, you ever try to lift a guy who's just seriously dead weight? You lift up one arm, it slides down and falls down. You pick up his foot, his leg collapses. In the movies, though, they'll drag a guy, they'll pick him up. It's no problem. Now, why? He's cooperating. It's not real over the top. It's not real visual. He's just helping out in his own way. Try to pick up. My buddy Chris passed out in the Tijuana Borders, 210 pounds. It took five guys to get that asshole tilted up so I could throw him over my shoulder. It wasn't like, karate chop the guard. Now I'm going to take him out.
It's like pick up an amoeba.
Yeah, it's like a block.
Yeah, it slips right through you.
Another thing in karate movies is they can fly.
Oh, yeah.
Crouching Tiger.
That's a new technique. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying, in real life, people don't cooperate when you try to flip them. That's all I'm saying.
Especially when they're drunk in Tijuana.
Jamie?
Things are the call.
Can they call?
Yeah.
You know,
get another.
Oh, you got to pee. Let's go. That's great.
Someone was the guy who was arrested for prostitution is calling back?
Yeah.
Angry Bob?
That's a good one to tease.
Well, let me just say hi to Angry Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing, man?
You know, last time Bob called was a couple of weeks ago, and he was arrested for prostitution, although it wasn't really that big a deal. He was just, like, walking down Santa Monica Boulevard, and some, like, chick asked him if she thought she was cute or something. They started talking, and next thing you know,
well, he said
the cops were
saying. He, in fact, said, you must be cops.
Right. Now you were saying to us that you got on that sexual offenders list.
Exactly. So I've been to court, and I'm here to tell you exactly what happened and how for other people to avoid this kind of thing in the future.
Okay, hold on a second.
All right, good.
All right. Well, A, they cannot solicit prostitutes. I mean, that's a way to nip it in the bud, right? But if you do then get popped, he's going to tell us how not to make that list. I didn't think it was fair to make that list. You've got a bunch of pedophiles, and you're on this list forever because you're you know, red-blooded young guy. He's a little bit lonely. Take a little break. Jimmy Kennedy's our guest tonight.
Jimmy's freaking out again.
It's
no, I'm just thinking, like, I mean, what did he do? He just talked to a prostitute and he's on the list?
You'll hear about it. That's right.
And then I drive down Santa Monica Boulevard all the time. I'm like, hey, how you doing?
Stop internalizing every prostitute.
I'm very empathetic tonight.
We'll take a little
that's
break.
Not exactly empathy.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Anyone watch your Grammys tonight?
A little bit.
Jimmy Kennedy's our guest, by the way. I always find that Jimmy wrote on it with, as you know, with John Stewart. And I think they did a good job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just get uncomfortable. I don't know why that whole format is uncomfortable
well,
for me.
Well, part of it is that room, those huge rooms, trying to deliver jokes in that room. It's like there's no reaction. It rolls across, you know, 20,000 people.
Yeah, right.
Just standing there, like.
But not only that, just everything from you know when the celebrities come out and read the teleprompter and deliver the next category, and it always, it's just there's a playing handball against the drapes kind of feel to all of those shows. That it seems to attack me on some visceral level and make me uncomfortable to watch.
Which is why whenever I've done one with Adam, he refuses to read the script. So those huge teleprompters, he refuses to read. One time we were out there, we did one, and it was like Best Kiss or Best Love Scene or something, you know, some teen awards. And they show these clips of these sort of sexy scenes, and Adam goes, hey, I just want you all to know, I masturbated to every one of these scenes.
Yeah,
good time. Well, network TV.
That was his opener.
Yeah. Yeah. I own an eyes to my sofa.
Man, yeah, I
still see a bunch of 12-year-olds in the audience. Yeah, it's a teen choice. Oh, you probably must have
teen choice. Did you get slimed? Or did the sliming?
It was a
kid's choice.
That's kid's. No, I've done Billboard. Blockbuster Awards.
I hosted the Billboard.
Billboard.
You hosted that.
Me and Kathy.
Who, by the way, is coming up on March 7th?
Kathy Griffin is?
Yeah.
Good. Close personal friend of mine. All right. Let's.
Dear friend. We're talking to
dear.
Bob, who was arrested for soliciting a prostitute. All right, Bob.
Hey, guys.
Okay. So how did you keep your name? So
well, tell the whole story.
Okay. No.
Yeah, because
I want to hear.
All
right. Sorry, Bob.
Well, I'll make it brief. As you guys recall, you know, I was just going down to the liquor store to get a six pack. Came back, there was these two, not just average-looking girls, but, I mean, hot. Any guy within the sound of my voice would have done exactly what I did. They only wanted $50, and they were really working it. You know, I mean, they were really, you know, trying to just convince me to do it. So, of course I did. And then, you know, I mean, literally, like, five cops come out, cop cars.
Did they say, hey?
Oh, let me see your hands. You know, just like I committed a bank robbery, for Christ's sake. It was just the most...
What did the prostitute say? Did they say, hey, come here, let's do this?
Well, I was coming out, and like I didn't even know there were prostitutes at first. I was like, hey, girls, and what's going on? And then, you know, they didn't really have that prostitute vibe because they were too hot, and they were women, especially for that neighborhood. Adam, you know, that they're all men dressed as women.
That's why I phrase it.
So she was like, you want a date? I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was like, you guys got to be cops. They were like, no, are you a cop? And I was like, no. I was like, you tell me. Say I'm not a police officer. She goes, I'm not a police officer.
Wow, then what's the problem?
Yeah, well, no. So it's, well, they can...
Urban myth.
They can
use okay, hold on a second. Now he's got me going.
I'm not a cop. If you say I'm not a cop, that's Larry H. Parker material.
Yeah.
Right. Well, as you know, Adam and Drew, the cops that were on your show, they told you that they can use deception and
they can
say whatever they want.
Look, I understand, by the way, I'm not in enough trouble with the law enforcement community. But again, law enforcement people, listen up. You work for us. So I don't give a rat's ass what you think.
Why did you call those cops that?
I
the show.
Oh, because I like Neil, and he could talk.
No, he means the...
I gave him a sufficient amount of crap. I told him to stop bothering with all the nonsense that we don't give a rat's ass about. You guys do what we tell you to do. That's it.
Feel like doing.
Not what you feel like. Oh, look, what do garbage men do? They come by when they're in the mood?
Yeah.
No, they come by and they do what they do. What do school teachers and bus drivers do? That's what you guys are. I'm not saying you're bad people. You work for the city, for the taxpayers, for the citizens. So we'll tell you what we're interested in and what we're not interested in. And you shaking down guys, trying to get them to commit to a BJ, is not something we're interested in. So how about we knock it off? And I understand the part about you guys needing to keep things cleaned up and not having a bunch of drunken Johns roaming around trying to pick up underage prostitutes. But don't go out and look for it. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you. New York City, when I saw that guy jaywalking in front of 6 cop cars and not thinking twice about it, I thought, this is a city.
Yeah.
This is a city.
Wait, so what happened? The cops came?
Right, the cops came. They were total jarheads, put me in cuffs, threw me in the back of the car. And then I have to sit there. Well, that was actually kind of fun. I had to sit there while they busted other guys just like me.
Yeah,
you know. Right. So I made the best out of it. I pretended like I was on a ride-along or something, so it wasn't all that bad. But anyways, so here's the skinny on how not to get busted. A, don't waste your time asking them if they're cops. The surefire way to make sure is they have to touch you below the waist, if you know what I mean.
Oh, you got to get them to do a little sample grab.
Yeah, any real whore is going to touch you there and say, well,
right,
touch my... whatever.
They can't.
Or let me touch you.
And if a police woman can't do that?
No, she cannot.
Why not?
They just can't.
All right. Well, that's good.
Right.
I'm going to do that with everyone.
Right. Exactly.
I don't trust my mom either.
Now, here's where it gets interesting, everybody. I go down to the Beverly Hills courthouse. And
is it Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
It's Officer Solis.
Bob, is that you on the radio?
Probation officer's calling.
Where was this at, Rodeo?
Here's what happens. God damn it.
All right.
It was
car. Answer, sir. Why not?
I'll put him on hold for a second. Just hang up the phone or, you know, shut the ringer, throw a pillow on it or something. All right, Bob.
Okay, sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Turn off the phone. So anyways, again, case of your guest being totally misinformed, you do not have to register as a sexual offender. Total rumor, not true at all.
All right. Well, who said you had to? You said you had to.
I asked if you had to, or I said I heard that you had to, and then your guest said, oh, yes, you do have to.
No. One of them said they thought you did, and the other one said they hadn't heard that, or they said that it happens sometimes or something like that. And I said, why?
Yeah, you made a big deal. He said it doesn't make sense.
Drew, am I ever wrong?
No, no.
Ever? Yeah. Even with a DA and a veteran cop sitting here? Why do I always know more?
Because you took issues. Wait a minute. This doesn't make sense.
I had a deputy DA for Los Angeles telling me yes, and I was saying no. And my crime-fighting experience, it's really only watching Batman. This is the only crime-fighting experience I have.
Right. So, well,
Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man. Good, thank you.
Adam, you don't recall her saying, yes, you have, it's on a case-by-case basis?
Yeah, she said something like that.
She seemed to, not, yes, they didn't tell you were wrong, but they were both mildly fuzzy on the whole thing.
And remember, Adam went, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Are you telling me that? And she kind of went, yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to stop listening to people, even if they have 1,000 degrees. Once I say, this doesn't sound right, I'll just now believe it. Right?
Just know it's not
right. All right. Yes, Bob, you heard me say that to her 1,000 times, right?
What?
How come this guy should be on the same list as some old pedophile?
Well, for every crime, there's consequences.
She didn't. Yeah. They just wanted to leave it at that. They looked at each other and were completely shocked when he said that he had to register.
Anyway.
I don't think you guys caught it, but they looked at each other and said, what?
Not shocked. Like, both of you, do you know this? Like, looking for support from one another.
No,
but it's about the case by case.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying, Bob. The truth is somewhere in between. It's not like they called you up and said you have to register. It's not like they said definitely you don't have to register. You suggested it, and you said, is this something I'm going to have to do? Or you said someone told me I'm going to have to do this. And things vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction sometimes, and they don't like to go against what people say. So they just kind of said, like, well, doesn't sound right, but I guess you're right.
Right.
And it's that kind of thing. So you don't have to register.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me just tell you what happened real quick. So I go there, and I'm thinking that I have to, and then I get a district attorney, and she was actually pretty cool. And it's so worked out in advance. I mean, it's so obviously just for the money. So she comes in, she goes, okay, here's the deal. This is the way it works all the time. We knock it down to trespassing. You get a $480 fine. You get an AIDS test. You have to go to an AIDS awareness meeting, and that's the end of it. Oh, and then something like a 500-yard restraining order. But I was like, I live right by the goddamn liquor store.
Right.
You know, and then the judge was like, well, no loitering.
Right. Thanks,
so you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for following up.
Restraining order from
that. I know. It becomes trespassing on your sidewalk. And you got to take an AIDS awareness class. I mean, come on, you guys. What are you really doing here? What are we doing?
Money.
Okay, but just start asking for money then, would you please? I've said it many times. Will you bring back that policeman's ball so we can get on with our lives?
I'm confused. What happened? At what point did he get busted? He has to ask?
Yeah, they come up. And also, you got to understand,
isn't the point that money's exchanged or something?
As a guy, yeah, they tell him it's an amount or something. Mm. But as a guy, you feel like a wuss when a chick is going, what's the matter? True, what did the prostitutes yell at you?
I was saying in 1981, I was in Las Vegas, and they used to line the street, and they'd yell at you, you have a small penis, you fag, and they if you don't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
From now on, if a girl says, hey, you want a date or you want a party, just basically keep walking.
Right.
That's
I was walking across the street in New York one time.
Oh, Jesus. We were walking home from the radio show in New York.
3 in the morning.
3 a.m. 3 a.m. Well, it's just like I was walking home this morning at 3 a.m. in New York.
Nice.
A whole van filled with chicks that looked like... What the hell's the
ones that sang the Moulin Rouge song tonight on the Grammys?
Yeah, they all look like Lil' Kim.
Right,
and they yelled out the window. What'd they yell at you?
Come here, we're lost or something.
No, they didn't say we're lost. They just start yelling out of the van window. Hey, come here. They probably called you John.
No, this can you help us? Like,
and Drew immediately starts veering off the course we're on and starts turning back to go talk to the van filled with chicks.
To my head, it was like, "Did you help? We have a question. Can you help us with, you know?"
And you're just being helpful.
They seemed like well-dressed and ladies.
Yeah, there was enough lip gloss in there to float a battleship. They're all chewing like 6 packs of gum. They have like hair extensions everywhere, and
they're in a van?
Nails with unicorns on them and stuff. And Drew just turns back and he starts heading right for the van, you know. And it's 3:30 in the morning in the middle of New York, you know. And I grab Drew like by the shoulder and I turn him around and I go, look, just keep walking. So, those ladies require our assistance. Drew, are you high? They're whores. Keep talking.
Those ladies require our assistance.
I say, we must help the young lasses. They're in quite a bit of trouble.
Became like 1500s?
Yeah, Sir Walter Raleigh.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
I was
good.
Like, what? You were shocked.
That's true. So naive.
But they had a van. I mean, that's
well, it was cold. Hey, there's cold there.
When was it like the whore van? When did that come
out? Oh, a whoremobile.
The whoremobile. And usually streetwalkers are just, ooh, it's cold.
Well, these are organized, and they have like a, pimp with a class 5.
They probably had a GPS system in there.
Still have trouble what?
Believing that wasn't just somebody looking for directions.
My God.
Five chicks that look like RuPaul, just in a minivan at 3:30 in the morning. You feel they were like in from Iowa for the cheerleading competition or something. Where do you think they were?
Ray's original pizza is.
They're parked on Broadway. It was like Broadway and 54th. It was literally three and change. Yeah, please, Drew. Right.
Right. Women require our assistance.
Drew, they're probably still lost out there. You know, they probably died of exposure because you didn't tell them where the Riga Royal was. Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
You're 17. What's up?
When I was a baby, I got diagnosed with seizures between stage 1 and stage 2 sleep, and I was put on Dilantin, and I think I was on that from the time I was about 6 months old until about 4. Hmm. And I was wondering if there were any long-term effects of the seizures, like could they have effects on me as when I'm older or as medication?
The medication is completely harmless. Most people stay on that their whole life, in fact.
Okay.
The seizures themselves, no. But then you have to wonder why you're having these seizures. Do you have some sort of neurologic condition that predisposed you to that? And that's what needs to be evaluated.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, good time.
That's it.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah. Very gratifying. Yeah. Another satisfied customer.
Let's talk to one. Mike 18, what's up?
Hey, I've got a question for Jamie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay. Hi. Okay, if Adam and Drew were in a fight, who do you think would win?
Wow, I don't know.
That's going to be your best bet.
I don't know. Drew's kind of a silent type, but he could get wild. I don't know.
He could freak on you.
And Adam, you know.
I got nothing to lose.
With or without
nothing to lose.
With or without weapons.
No, it's going to be skin to skin.
Adam would kick my ass.
Oh, you don't know that. Drew's tough. Drew's strong.
No, I don't know that. I'm old.
Years old, but he's very strong. Drew could throw around. Drew goes in the weight room, throws around some pretty serious weight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, if they had probably...
He lifted a van full of hookers once over his head, like Superman.
Maybe if they had an own-off,
yeah,
they'd figure that out.
Would that
Are we going to hell for saying that?
No.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to dump.
All right, Mike, why are you interested
I don't
in
know,
causing
Mike.
Trouble?
Huh?
Why are you interested?
That's because
you
should do something for charity
sometime.
Ooh.
Something like mud wrestle?
Adam and Drew should fight.
Wow. Do they have oil on each other when they do it?
Not like that, man.
You know, like
a street fight.
Street fight for charity.
Street fight for charity.
Right? I try to cut him with a bottle. And he,
yeah.
But it's for pediatric AIDS, so
yeah.
It's okay. I mean,
street,
I
mean, right. Free fighting for AIDS.
How about just doing the radio show for sure?
Yeah. All right. Really? Was that?
Yeah. Was that necessary?
Well, I got two questions about that call. Why did... What's his name over here? Damien. Yeah. Could have been Tara. Mm. Why did Damien or Tara accept that call, and why did you pick it?
I was looking for a Jamie call. I probably should have done this one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. We're going to take a little break. Jimmy Kennedy is our guest tonight. We'll be back right after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Jamie Kennedy is our guest tonight. He is from the Jamie Kennedy Experiment, which is on 8 o'clock on the WWB on Sunday nights. And let's talk. Yeah?
I was waiting for the frog noise.
Oh. Yeah, we do miss that frog noise. Well, if we start talking about French people, Anderson, we'll put it in there at some point.
Jane.
There.
Hello?
What's up, Jane?
Where is the frog coming from?
Just shut up.
What's up?
I've got no time for you. I slept for an hour today.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
All right. That's all right, babe. I didn't mean to snap at you.
I went to a junior college.
Uh-oh.
And I also grew up in Las Vegas. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. And what's your question?
My question is, my fiancé died this last summer.
Of what?
He died in a motorcycle accident. Mm. And ever since, I've been trying to masturbate, and I just cannot do it. I just can't reach a climax, and I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah. Are you on medication?
No, I'm not.
Are you depressed?
Well, slightly, but, I mean, I was on medication, and it just seemed to make it worse.
What medication were you on?
I was on, oh, God, it was Selexa.
Until when? When did that stop?
Well, I took it for a couple months, but it made me really drowsy, so I quit taking it.
When?
I quit taking it back in December.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right.
Have you been dating?
Well, I've been trying to date.
The leader of the pack's been dead for how long?
Since July.
All right, so it's still pretty.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
It's coming around, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must have been devastating.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's awful.
All right, so, yeah, well, this is all stuff that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
What do you do now?
Well, I try to get off. I have movies. My friends think I'm weird for having movies because I'm a chick, but...
Right.
No, that's fine.
And I just, I try...
Right.
I mean, I can get excited, but I just can't get to that point anymore.
Yeah, and you could before.
Yeah.
Before the tragedy.
Easily. Yeah. Did the Celexa make things even worse?
Yeah, it did.
I have heard of people complain of some symptoms like this for a few months after they get off antidepressants sometimes. So it might be a residual effect of that, but more likely it's just the fact that you're depressed and have some stuff you're still dealing with.
I like to say that I'm doing very, very well. I mean, I'm fine physically, mentally.
Tell that to your clit.
Yeah. What?
Right. I'm getting punchy now. So. Yeah. Like, you take care of yourself, all right?
You're gonna be all right. Exercise,
nutrition,
all right.
Yeah. Good times.
Good
times.
Okay.
All right,
thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again,
let's just go home, Adam. You're done. Just get out of here. Come on. Say goodbye to Jamie. Get going. You're tired.
No, how dare you?
You're tired.
That's right. I'm tired. But you know what? I'm never tired of helping. This is clearly illustrates again the difference between men and women. It's just guy chick's body'd still be warm. He'd squeeze one off. You know, I mean, he could. He might be crying, but something would come out of his penis.
True.
Right?
Yes. Or if he had trouble thinking about it when he was awake, something would still come out of him at night.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, you could put a. Big boiling pot on my head and beat it with a wooden spoon, and I could still. I'd probably add about 15 seconds to my onanism. Dave?
Yo.
I would have to die in a motorcycle accident in order for me not to achieve an orgasm, and even then, I think I could get one.
Yeah, I could see that.
You're 27 there, Dave. What's up?
Not too much, guys. Adam, you must have had a heck of a share of the radio market over the last couple of days.
Aww. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome back to L.A.
Well, thanks. Good to be back.
Hello, Dr. Drew.
Dave.
Jamie, you have an excellent show there on Fox.
It's on the WV, but thank you.
Oh, yeah. Geez, sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
The day workers at the birthday party was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Thank you.
And the only thing that ever tops that is a little movie I saw you in at the Lemley Theater called Pretty When You Cry.
Oh, yeah, you like that?
Oh, you know, it started out pretty painful, but then it really got to be funny after a while. I wish I could describe this whole movie to the audience, listening audience.
They have to go and watch HBO.
Oh, is that where it's playing?
So HBO usually about 1:10 in the morning.
What year is it from?
They hired Jamie, and then they hired these two porno stars or something.
No, and they're not porno.
They look like porno stars.
No, they're very nice.
I'm sure they're sweet people.
Carlton is an actress. She's very good.
But I swear...
Sam Elliott was in it. He's not a porno star.
That's true. But, you know, everybody was just kind of moaning and groaning at the test screening at first, and by the end it was like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. People were throwing stuff at the screen, and, you know, it was so... I mean...
They played at the Lemley?
Yeah, it was a test screening that my wife took me to, and the first 20 minutes I was like, what is she doing to me? And then it just kept getting funnier and funnier.
So people threw things at the screen?
Well, no, in a good way.
Like
when they throw roses at the manager. Except for this was fecal. No.
The movie was good. It just didn't know what it wanted to be.
Well,
didn't know if it wanted to be a comedy or a thriller or a soft porn.
what year is this from?
I did that. 2 years, 2 summers ago. Almost 2 summers ago.
And give us the title one more time.
It's Pretty When You Cry.
And is it, it will be on like HBO?
No, it's on. It's on right now.
All
right. Usually 1 o'clock.
We'll
it's good. Very good friends of mine, the Jebby Brothers, produced it. Thank you. Hello, Richie and Dave.
Layla?
Layla?
Layla? What?
Layla, it's like Gail, but with an L.
Oh, okay.
I have a couple of comments and then a question.
How do you spell your name?
L-A-Y-L-E.
Gayle. That's one of the Gayle spellings.
No, I'm just saying. It's just...
Whatever.
Hey, Tara.
It's nice.
Just spell it E-L so we can...
Okay.
All right.
I-L.
Well, the Jamie Kennedy experiment is really funny. I've seen it a couple times. The guys from Seven Dust and Adam should have a stage show because you were so hilarious. And but anyway, I'll just...
What? Adam was hilarious on Jamie's show?
No.
Adam was hilarious with the guys on, with the guest Seven Dust, the guys from Seven Dust.
Oh,
I
was that
a while back, but it was just...
No, they're on this show like a week ago, Drew.
Yeah, very entertaining.
Drew, you were probably out of time.
But my question is, I'm 20.
You don't
and
admit
I am
that anymore.
18, and she just got married recently, this past year, and her marriage is just kind of, you know, on again, off again. And as her sister, I'm standing back witnessing all this.
Yeah.
And I wish there was something that I could do to make it better. And there's, like, a bazillion reasons why.
All right. Hold on. Layle.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. We're out of time.
Okay.
We're screwed. But here's the deal. Be there for your sister, but don't get in the middle.
Don't get in the middle of it, yeah.
And encourage them not to have kids if things are rocky.
Above everything
that's
else.
For sure. We'll be right back. All right. That's the show. I am going to sleep in my own bed tonight, baby.
Yahoo.
Yes. I'm going to onanize my comforter.
Yet again.
And then I'm going to get myself some sleep. And let me tell you, if I get 6 hours, it's going to be like, oh, my God, I'll be Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, yeah.
I won't even know where I am when I wake up. I want to thank Jamie Kennedy for coming in here. And
thank you, guys.
Come in more often. I forgot I like you.
I'd love to.
Drew said he didn't like you, and I disagreed. But
truly,
no,
it hurts me.
No, we like Jamie Kennedy. We like his show, which is Sunday nights at 8 o'clock on the WB. There you go.
There it is.
Tune in this Sunday. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
You have a small penis, you fag.